Hey, everybody, how y'all doing today? So, when I save this, when I save the notes here on my little pad, I made a mistake in the title. And it was supposed to be When None of This Was Here. When None of This Was Here. But the first time I saved it, it was When None of This Was Hers. And so we're going to look at when None of This Was Here. And it's coming up right now. I thought it would come up quicker, but they're slow sometimes.
You don't have it memorized?
These newfangled. Yeah, I do, but I have to have notes so I can do it properly, like extemporaneous kind of thing. Because I did write a few things.
I don't think we want to.
Just in case. Just in case the press asks questions out of line.
He pulled the plug.
I know.
Well, anyway, last week we talked about how the more things change, the more they stay the same. That lyric from Rush. The plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose, which is the more things change, the more they stay the same. And we talked pretty much in depth about the changes, you know, throughout history of different technology and that. Then we talked about some things that haven't changed, namely the human condition, our sin nature. That has just been passed down from generation to generation, and it will always be with us. And then there's a battle. When we come to know Jesus Christ and He gives us Holy Spirit, there's that battle that takes place, and it's a continual fighting between the flesh and the spirit within us. And some of us have a more difficult time than others. Kind of joked about some men's sin go before them and others come behind, and how, you know, we can all look at one another and go, oh my gosh, they're just crazy wild with their life. They're so sinful. And then after someone passes away, we go, oh, grandma, what in the world is this stuff you have in here? And then we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and how when we're grafted into the vine, that the fruit of the Spirit is kind of like this orange with all the different wedges. And when you peel it open, it's all of the fruit of the Spirit, just in there, all these different flavors, of the love, joy, peace, patience, all of that. So none of this was here. I remember when none of this was here. A lot of times when Tammy and I, we go to a new town, we go to a new city or something, like when we were up in Charlottesville this past week, went up there, and we're driving up, and I just made the comment, you know, man, I remember when none of this was here. And Janice is like, oh, really? And I'm like, no, I'm kidding. I've never been over here before. And then when we got up to our hotel room, you know, I'm looking out over this construction site, and it's like, man, I remember what was here before, you know, all these trees, and they just took it down. But there's a lot of truth in that. You know, if we go back to our hometown, if we've ever been back.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't go back to Chicago until 93, 94, we were working with Mark, went back to Chicago, and I hadn't seen it since I was 15 years old. And there were a lot of changes around there, a whole lot of changes. And then going to see where my mother was raised, in Pound, Virginia, and then going into Flat Gap in Wise County, and just seeing the buildings that were no longer there, the stores that had closed down, and the buildings were still there. And again, I hadn't been there since I was 14 years old. So if we've lived in this area for any number of years, and I know a lot of us have been here seemingly forever, you know, compared, you know, we've lived more than half of our life here, or we've still seen a lot of changes. Right? You've seen a lot of trees removed. You've seen a lot of buildings go up. A lot of stores come in and then
a lot of streets been put in.
A lot of streets. You know, we were driving out of Walmart, and there's that one stretch on 17 just before the overpass for that road that escapes me. But it said that the Riverside Rehab Hospital is coming soon to that area, across from where the garages are, the mechanic shop, and what used to be a shoe store, and then there's now something else. But anyway, things change around us. And sometimes, like talking about the leaves, we don't notice it. It just kind of happens. When did they put that there?
When we moved to Denby, it was like moving to a different town because there was nothing between the graveyard and almost down to downtown Highwood. It was just all woods all the way up through.
Yeah.
And then we moved up here, and all of a sudden, everybody moved up here with us.
Bam, bam, bam.
It was amazing.
When my mother passed, and then later on when my father passed away, going back to Las Vegas and seeing how they had completed the loop going around the entire city, mm-hmm. and seeing places that had been shut down, casinos that were no longer there, and new ones had been put up, and it's just... And over time, and I was thinking about this, you know, I'm a guy who really likes history. I remember when none of this was here. Think about people in Giza with the pyramids. People in Athens, you know, with the Parthenon and all of the temples and all those buildings. In Jerusalem with the Wailing Wall, you know, pretty much all that's left, right? But what was it like for those people who were there when the pyramids weren't there? And then they came by and maybe they were working, you know, to help build it, or they just were in close to the area. What did the Sphinx look like when it was brand new? The Parthenon, when it was finished, when the capstone was put up in the marble, how did it shine? How beautiful was it? Now it's ruins and everything's dirty.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Things change. But there's one thing that doesn't change. So think about people, places, and things fade away, becoming like phantoms, like shadows in our memories, where we think we remember something, but it's not quite that way. Nothing is actually how we remember it, because we tend to, at least I do, I tend to really like build up and glorify some, you know, riding my bike in the town and going to get a hot dog, which was probably the worst thing that anybody else ever tasted. But as a kid, it's like, wow, this is fantastic.
Great.
You know, or you go to some restaurant that is famous in your area and nobody else, you know. Those kind of things where you kind of glorify the memory and you remember it differently than it actually happened. So they're like phantoms, like shadows in our memories, people. You know, with the advent of Facebook, I can go back and, you know, see the people that I went to school with in elementary school. And, like, that's not how I remember them. Or look at, you know, the whole class picture that was there. It's like, that's not how I remember them here. You know, you see someone post it that you haven't seen for a long time. And it's like, oh, I remember him. I remember her. I had a crush on her, which is just about every girl in school.
So, I can relate to that.
Yeah. Think about some of the ancient buildings around the world. Ancient temples, tombs, and arenas. We see them now as broken ruins, left to imagine what they'd look like while being constructed. Who built them? How did they build them? What would a typical workday entail? What did the landscape look like prior to construction? How long was it before the contemporary population stopped using those buildings? Like Kmart. You know, various other locations in strip malls and different areas of the peninsula.
We still use Kmart.
Well,
it's an aviary.
Yeah, more than likely. That's what it is. Or there's bats in the belfry, or who knows what critters might be dwelling in that. And that's in that.
The Kmart, they have a problem with birds.
Yeah. So, but Bill, you know, how long did it take? How long was it utilized before it would? How long was the Parthenon? How long were those temples used before people finally said, you know what, we're not going up there anymore? And then, you know, the kids started hanging out and doing graffiti and knocking stuff over. And teenagers, just teenagers doing that stuff. So I was thinking about then and then now and then not yet. You know, things that happened then. How we remember them. Family members. Friends. Shows on TV. Things on the radio. Clothing. What was popular then? You know, were you around during bell bottoms and the tall, thick shoes for men?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes. Were you around to see the leisure suit?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes. I've even been on a photograph.
Yeah. And
I had a memory yesterday going through Walmart in Williamsburg. I fought the law, and the law one was on the right now. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I saw those guys at the Northeast Teen Club. I was there with them. You know, they were on the stage. They were nothing. They were singing the song, and they were nothing. And now, it's memorabilia. You know, it's just a memory flying through the air.
That's the classic rock radio has changed. No longer is it the hard rock from the 60s and 70s. They've moved up into the 80s and 90s. And it's like, no, that's not classic rock yet. No, don't say it. Don't say it. Next thing you know, it's going to be the oldie station. You know, just, I don't want that to happen. So there's the then, and then there's now. The things that we see now, today, tension, good stuff, good times, bad times, that whole. And then there's what we're looking forward to, that not yet. And we don't want to dwell on the then. We want to remember then, but we don't want to dwell on it. We don't want to sit and think back, you know, how the Bible talks about, you know, they used to sit around and talk about the glory days of Jerusalem, you know, what it was like. Sing us some of the songs of your native land. We just want to think about how wonderful it was. Man, I remember when. No, we don't want to dwell on them. We can remember them. We can talk about them, you know, and encourage one another with the good stuff, forgetting what is behind, pressing forward. So we forget the bad stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, don't dwell on that. Don't dwell on past mistakes. Keep moving forward. People who dwell on past mistakes, on past errors, continue to fight in war and kill in the Middle East. There are tribes and groups that continue to fight in South America, different places, gangs that just war with one another because they will not let go of what some in the younger generation call a beef. You know, they won't let go. The Hatfields and McCoys. You know, we were talking about that last night, you know, and, or this just a little bit ago, yeah, because I was watching the thing last night, feudal law. The now, the then, not yet. Past, present, future. Past, the present, the future. And because we are finite beings, and because we are here now, yesterday is gone. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I think it's difficult for us to comprehend that God is there yesterday, today, and forever. That he encompasses all of time. He's always been here. He is the only one who is the eternal one. And eternal means without beginning and without end. It's forever. And we get to join into that eternal life. To join in and to be a part of that. We're part of the not yet. That's why we pray. That's why we look forward to healing. That's why we look forward to deliverance. That's why we look forward to new things happening. You know, Janice getting a new job. Not complaining about the job that she had, but just pressing on and saying, Lord, when it's time, when it is your time for me to move on, I will listen and I will follow. And then that's when the blessing comes. We live in the not. We're in the now. We're looking forward to the not yet.
Living in hope.
Yeah, we live in hope. And we don't live as those who have no hope, or we don't mourn like those who have no hope.
Can I interject one thing? I was watching, and again, 700 Club, and one of the prayers, or one of the requests came in, and they wanted to know, is it wrong for me to pray to die? Is it wrong for me to pray to go on ahead? Because I'm so distraught with this life now, and I want to... And Pat Robertson said a really neat thing. He says, you don't know what effect you have on someone else is the reason you're here. You're going through something very bad, but you're an example to someone to give them hope for surviving and going on. So he says, don't try to cheat God out of that. He says, for God's sake. And that was what was so neat. He says, for God's sake, do not consider suicide.
Yeah.
Because that is for God's sake, because you're here for his purposes, not exactly. for our own. You know, yeah. don't hold yourself selfish. Oh, I want to go forward. Please take me now. You know, and some of the saints had done it. Some of the prophets had,
right.
had asked to be,
oh, Lord, take me
take
now.
Me out of this mess because I know what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
But you're not here for yourself. You're here
yeah.
for God's glory.
And I think, you know, it's okay to ask the Lord to, you know, Lord, will you please just end my suffering? Because like you said, we see the prophets
right.
do that. We see Paul do that.
I think we've all been
in a way, Jesus in the garden, you know, it's like, will you just take this
Absolutely.
Cup away from me?
Yeah.
You know, can we, is there any other way? I remember from Jesus Christ Superstar, you know, the factual interpretation of the Gospels.
Yeah, because he as a man felt this coming.
And even Jesus on the cross said, is there any other way? Take
right.
this cup from me.
Yeah, because
he didn't have to go through what he was going to go through.
Oh, yeah.
So I think
that
that's okay.
Helps me a lot. The fact that he knows what you're thinking already, so just get it off your chest.
Yeah.
It's
Go
not
ahead.
Like you're hiding anything from him.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's not like your pronunciation of the words are going to make things worse. It's already
you're speaking it out to confirm.
Exactly. It's already on the table.
Yeah. And he understands. It's like, you know, when we communicate with one another, even vocally, even in person, there's misunderstanding. You know, there's it's lost in translation. We hear things differently, or we see, you know, but then when it's in the Twitterverse or on a threads in some, you know, comment section or on Facebook, we're having a conversation, and it's very difficult for me because, you know, like when Amelia and I first met and she saw me talking with my hands and I was loud and, you know, obnoxious, and she's like, this guy's got to be Italian, you know. And it's like, yeah, Irish and Italian. It's like, well, that explains why loud he is and confrontational and all that. I don't know why I went there. But, oh, yeah, the whole communication thing. That things are lost because when you read the written word, sometimes it's hard to understand.
Well, even seeing things differently.
What's the emotion?
This morning I had a pair of pants and a shirt that I was going to wear because I thought, this looks good. And she came in and she says, you're not wearing that.
Yeah, well, they were her pants.
And it was her blouse.
And it was her blouse, a flowery, pretty blouse. You're not wearing that in the ear.
I'm looking around saying, this looks good to me, you know? And she said, no, this does not look good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and one of those big hats. One of those big Queen Elizabeth hats. But Holy Spirit sees everything all at once. He sees it all at the exact same time. He knows the beginning from the end. I just can't fathom that. Can't understand that. And one of the things that I tried, you know, I think about a lot of stuff. And one day I was thinking about the people on the planes that went down on 9/11. I think about that. And I see that image. You know, I see the image of that, the one plane that was already there and then the next one going in. And then I see the aftermath in Pennsylvania. And then at the Pentagon. And I wonder what was going on. Where were those people that were on that plane in relationship to God Almighty? Where were they? And I stopped and I thought, God is eternal. And those planes have not yet hit that building. And I picture Holy Spirit going through that building where people know something's wrong. And I picture him walking through up and down the aisles and just ministering to people because that plane has not yet hit that building.
Amen.
You know, it's because he's eternal.
As we are.
You know, I can just picture where he is. He can still be ministering to someone. Then, now, and not yet because he sees it all. He's a great big God, you know. How small is your God? Talked about that many, many moons ago. You know, your God must be mighty small if you think that he doesn't love everybody. Your God must be incredibly small if you think he can't save a Muslim. Your God must be very small if you think that he doesn't love a homosexual, you know. That he can't work things out between races. Your God's too small. He's big. He can do anything. He's huge. He knows. Holy Spirit knows who we are. He knows who we were. He knows who we are, and He knows who we will be. And we talked about, you know, keeping in step with the Spirit. That if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus said, "Come, follow me. Take up your cross." That symbolizes we need to die to ourselves. We've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but He lives in me. We've been grafted into the vine. We draw everything from Him. Peter said that we've been given everything we need for life and godliness in Christ. Right? But He knows who we were all those years ago. He knows the stuff that we did before we came to saving grace in Him. He sees all of that. You know, the stuff that we don't want shouted from the rooftops. He knows who we were. He knows who we are right now. He knows what wickedness we try to hide from Him. And it's not a contest. You know, it's not, you know, the thing of, oh, well, look, you're really, really bad. Oh, you're really, really good. Or I'm better than you, or you're better than me. Because I believe when God looks down, it's not like, you know, how we see the landscape with buildings and it's all like this. When He looks down, He just sees everything's the same height. You know, everything's, it's all, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying like that, but that's how this brain thinks. He knows who we will be. Because remember in Jeremiah, we can claim that scripture. We can claim the scripture in Jeremiah that when God spoke to him and said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I knew you when I put you together. He knew Jeremiah. He knew us. He had the blueprint of you. He had the blueprint of each one of us before Him because He designed us and He knit us together. God hangs out at Michael's and buys yarn and stuff. You know, He knits us together. But so He knows our past. He knows our past. He's here in our present. And He is directing our steps toward our future. And sometimes we don't stay on that path. We kind of veer off here a little bit. In some ways, it's not unlike having a plan on a vacation to say, all right, well, we're going here. And I used to get so mad at my dad because I was the one that wanted, hey, can we go see the big ball of yarn? You know, those things that little towns have as you're driving along the interstate. It's like, come see this. Come see this over here. And we were talking with Garth and Janice about going from Las Vegas to Los Angeles because I had taken that trip many, many times, you know, when I was a teenager. And then when we worked together, when Tam and I worked together, we made many, many trips from Las Vegas to L.A. And just seeing, you know, coming through Baker and Barstow, and we were just kind of reminiscing about certain things. And there was a Bob's Big Boy in Baker. And it had the world's largest or the world's tallest thermometer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no longer a Bob's Big Boy. It had, you know, I looked it up, you know, when I went back to the hotel room. I'm looking it up just to see if it was still there. And it's closed down. It went from being a Bob's Big Boy to a Bob's Big Boy to a Bun Boy. And then it closed down. And the thermometer is in shambles, and the store, you know, things are falling off of the restaurant and all that. And then there's a road, if you've ever driven on 15 from Nevada into California, there's a road called Zizix Road, ZZYXXZ, or something. Yeah, Zizix Road. And I always wanted to turn down there. I wish I had now. Wish we'd gone down there because we found out that it was a phony mineral springs. There was a Christian, this charlatan, who claimed that it had healing powers. And but the buildings are all a shambles. It's run down. Now the area is some kind of a test study for some college, some university in that area. But just to see the buildings that are dilapidated. I like to look on Instagram. There's World War II, then and now. And they take photographs. There's photographs that were taken during World War II. And you'll see, like in Britain, you'll see in London where a building has been bombed out. And then they superimpose the new area. And they kind of put the pictures together. They put the photographs together. And you can see, you know, soldiers over here and, you know, people just looking like they're in misery because they're experiencing the effects of war. And then you see brand new contemporary buildings and people walking in vehicles. The one picture might have part of a tank, and then you see a car. And these pictures, to me, they just bring so much emotion to me then and now. Then I'll look at forgotten places. And there's people that go all around the world hunting these old buildings then and now. We were old buildings once. We were old buildings. We were dilapidated, run down, just empty inside. But Holy Spirit buys us. He redeems us. And he comes in and he rebuilds this temple for himself. He takes down the rotten wood. He takes out those things that are the hinges that are broken. He makes all things new. His dwelling place, our heart, his home. I think that's one of the reasons why we meet in a home now. You know, becoming a house church. He's demonstrating to us that thing. So he knows our past. He's here in our present, and he's directing us toward our future. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is one of those Bible verses from Hebrews chapter 13 that you'll see. In a lot of Foursquare churches, it's up on, you know, above the platform or on one of the walls. It's always in there. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's one of those life verses that you should have that just in your mind, in your heart at all times. Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 9 says, remember those who led you. It's the past. Remember those who led you. Remember the pastors and the elders and the friends, the teachers who led you in the beginning when you first came to him. Like Holy Spirit said to the Ephesians, think back to what you did in the beginning. Go back to what you were doing in the beginning when you were hungry for the things of God, when you sought him out, when you walked with him, when you listened to him. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Imitate. You know, we can do imitations. You know, impersonations, as it were. And that's how we learn. You know, teaching welding, where you demonstrate, and then the person comes along and they mimic you. They imitate what you're doing, and then they learn. You know, I need someone to teach me again how to play, you know, so I can imitate what they're doing. So, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. So, it's not... When we come to the Bible in our alone time, where we dwell on the scriptures, we think about God's word, that's where we get our nourishment. It's not from eating food. You know, better is a bowl of beans and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. We're grateful for those things that we receive, but we should spend more time dwelling on his word. You know, when Jesus said, I have food that you don't know anything about. Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
I think a lot of that comes into this thing of religion, too, because a lot of times religions are what he's talking about, the vain things that we did our pursuit. Religion is the bane of Christianity. You know, just...
Right. Yeah. You know, the kind of religion that the Father accepts is pure, is taking care of widows and orphans. You know, if we do that, if we take care of the widows and the orphans. And I believe that, every mother in some sense is a widow. Because a lot of times the guy's not there, the husband's not there. You know, he may be in the same house, but he's not always there. But these were actual widows, people who lost their husbands. They were alone in the world. And in that time period, they weren't worth much of anything. You know, they were less than cattle. You know, it's terrible to see that, to think about that. Because men and women, God made us, were equal but different. You know, Tammy and I work together. We complete the thing. You complete me. The religion that the Father accepts is pure and faultless. He's taking care of widows and orphans. And we've all been orphans. And everyone is an orphan. You know, we feel like, why am I here? What's going on? I need something. Father's Day, we're not orphans any longer. He's adopted us. He does not change with shifting shadows. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Right? You know that verse from that hymn. There's no shadow. And then the John Weber song, Father of Lights. There's no shifting shadows. Every good thing given and every perfect gift. This is James chapter 1. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of Lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Now see, these images that I give you, I get the pictures, and I don't want to put any burden on Horace or Amelia to have to put them up, because I know what kind of time that can take. So I try to describe as best I can, you know, the dilapidated buildings, the pictures from World War II then and now. And this is another image. If you've ever seen the film Koyaanisqatsi, or maybe you've just seen some documentaries on PBS about the Grand Canyon, or, you know, the concrete canyons of New York and Chicago, and you know, the skyscrapers, the Painted Desert. If you've seen any documentaries about those, a lot of times they'll do the time-lapse photography, where they'll set up the camera, and every so many minutes or however long it is, they'll take that picture, and you'll see the clouds come in, and you'll see the shadows and how the Grand Canyon, it looks like it's filling up. You know, if you've seen those before, you've seen the stop motion or the time-lapse photography of the Grand Canyon. Look for it, you know, and you'll see as the clouds come in from that vantage point, it looks like the canyon is filling up with darkness. And then, you know, the sun's coming up, and it's like this. To me, it's really cool to see. Those are shifting shadows. You know, have you ever been out somewhere and it's really hot? It's really hot. And all of a sudden, the big cloud comes over you, and it's like you feel the temperature drop, sometimes significantly. You know, and it's like, oh. But see, God doesn't do that. He's not a shifting shadow. He doesn't change. In Matthew 28, this is the chapter right here, you know, 28, the Great Commission, the marching orders, what he's told us to do. And then he's told us what to do, and then he shows us how to do it, and we imitate. We imitate those that came before us, and we imitate Holy Spirit. We imitate those that we read about in the Bible. In Matthew 28, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How could he be with us always? He promised Holy Spirit. Because he told them later, or at some point, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait. Tarry there. It was during the Feast of Pentecost. So they went. They obeyed him. And that was the day when Holy Spirit fell upon them and began to dwell within them, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. These guys were disciples. They were disciplined. They walked with Jesus. They knew who he was. They saw how he operated. And he told them, he said, hey, the stuff that you've seen me do, you're going to do even greater because there's more of you. It doesn't mean that we're going to be great. It doesn't mean that me alone, I'm going to do something greater than Jesus. He said, you will do something greater. And it's because there's more of us now. Because he came here, and rather than set himself up as king, like Israel was looking for, he came as a baby. He came as a servant. The servant king, like David. He came as the servant king. He washed feet. He served food. He took care of people. He showed his disciples how to do it. And then he said, now you guys go out there and do it. So what are we waiting for? You know, each one of us does it already. We do things already. He just wants to multiply it. He wants it to increase in how we live, the way we minister to people. You know, over at Mike and Angie's last night, and there were some guys that came up who worked at the shipyard, and they were talking to one of Stephen's friends, and Horace was like, well, hey, don't, they were leaving. Come on up. And we just chatted for a few minutes. But it's that thing of, don't walk away. I see you're here. How you doing? Are you all right? What's happening? You know, you introduce yourself. They introduce themselves. And that's how race relations work. You know? And for these two guys to come walk up, here's what I see. When these two guys come walking up, they see a veritable rainbow of people sitting around talking. You know, because we're all different races sitting there. We all have different nationalities that put us together. So we invite them to come up and say, hey, we're all the same, man.
We had the spring, I never wanted to toot my horn, but we got the opportunity to go to Israel this spring. You know, you're talking about past, present, future.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go to the temple and see people at the Wailing Wall. And, like, you know, even there, watching the Jews at the Wailing Wall, there's people, you talk about the past. I'm terribly nostalgic, like, I'm fatally nostalgic. I'll listen to a song from 5 years ago and like, get a little teary because I remember that so well. So, you know, there's these people at the Wailing Wall, and, you know, they're crying and weeping because literally, if they can't get into the temple, they can't get to the God in Judaism.
Yeah.
So they put their hands on the wall because that's the closest thing they can get to actually praying to God. So there's these people with a hand on the wall and dozens of people with their cell phone in their other hands talking to their loved ones in Europe and America because that's the closest that their loved ones can get to praying to God is by their friend on the wall. And so, you know, we see that. We went to Caesarea Philippi and we stood in the temple where Jesus did most of his teaching. And it was selfish of us because that temple fell down at one point and they built a floor on top of the floor where he's great time. Like, why can't we touch the floor, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And when we were in other places, it was like, why can't I be in the exact place? Because there was things that they do where they build, to protect the sites, they build churches over the sites, the Catholics do. So there's where they believe the crucifixion was and the burial was, there's one of the biggest cathedrals I've ever been in. And there was floors on top of the ground where it was. And we walked up this huge staircase to go to Golgotha. But you get up there and there's a Catholic altar and they're doing this big service. I'm like, you know, I want to be at the place.
Yeah.
So we go to Bethlehem and there's the wall, God's strip. And we went in this church and it's supposed to be where Jesus was born. And it's like, we get to the place And it's literally a hole in the ground. There's a star around it. There's an altar around it. And it's like, wow, look at that, you know? And you, but you go outside, and you can hear the Israelis and the Palestinians shooting at each other. And you can see the graffiti on the wall, people being oppressed, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
People are dying either way. And so the, at the end of our time there, we went to this bookstore. They'd met the guy that owned it a year before. And they'd gone 2 years before. I went with a Christian student fellowship. And they'd gone before and met the guy that owned that and talked to him. And this time he sat down and talked to him for 3 hours. And this guy was Palestinian born. He was born in Jerusalem, lived in Jerusalem all his life. His whole family was from Palestine. They still had the keys to their house in Palestine. They couldn't get over there and all this stuff. And so, you know, they're... I listened to him talk for 3 hours. This guy had his PhD in the study of the war going on. And I realized, I was like, how much money did we all spend, all 40 of us that came, spend to come to a place that was just Jesus' vehicle to deliver his word? And there's people dying over there. You know, mothers with kids in their hands are desperate to get into the country where there's food and there's hope for them. And like, where would Jesus have been now? He would have been over at the wall.
He would have been on the strip. Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of hit me. It's like, I really wanted to come here and this be this amazing thing of the past. The temple, the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Beatitudes. You know, we went there and it was awesome. But I realized that I had thought that Jesus' vehicle for delivering stuff in the past was a Cadillac. We got there and it was a Yugo. And I realized that, like, it doesn't, like, the past doesn't matter. The physical doesn't matter. What matters is that he transcended. You don't need to go and touch the wall to pray to God and Jesus.
Right.
Like, and if you live in the past, it will be fatal. Because we went to places where the Jews had raised millions and millions and millions of dollars to build the new temple. That they would have to knock down the mountain, Dome of the Rock,
yeah,
the Muslim headquarters, you know, to build their new temple. But there's all kinds of Jews living in Palestine and Muslims living in Palestine that need that money. So when you live in the past, you worship the past, you miss the goodness that can come in the present, and you ignore the future.
Yeah.
That was one of the hardest lessons I've ever learned.
And I'm excited because last week you talked about going through Revelation.
Sure.
And that eschatology and knowing that in the book of Revelation, the temple will be rebuilt. Because it was destroyed, in 70 AD?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus talked, if you destroy this temple, and it was prophesied about the temple being destroyed and the gold, going to melt down, but it's going to be rebuilt. And we look at it and we go, well, how? Look at the fighting. Look what's going on. But nothing is impossible with God. And I believe it's one-on-one relationship. I got to work a couple years ago. There were people from Russia and Turkey and the Ukraine. And Ukraine, and the people from Ukraine hate the people from Russia, and vice versa. Now, I could work with the guy from Turkey. We're like friends with everybody, and I could work with him, and I could work with the couple people from Russia, and then I could go over there and work with the guy from Ukraine. And I was talking to the guy from Turkey, and I said, I would love to see these guys come together because it's the government, of these places in the past that keeps this fighting going on. If they just sat down and broke bread and had several beers, or whatever their beverage of choice would be, they would, see how similar they are in that region, and then find that common ground. Hey, we both listen to American music. We both like, this, and we have some commonality. There's hope that can happen. Even, seeing that the two-state solution, or whatever they call it, in between Israel and Palestinians, to see that someday come about. And then, that whole area from Eastern Europe all the way into the Middle East. Several years ago, we were over at Bob's house. They live across from Horace and Amelia, just down the road here. And there was a man who had just retired from the Navy. He was a Brit national, but he joined the American Navy. And he was a nurse. They call those nurses or corpsmen or whatever.
Yeah, he was a nurse.
Yeah, he was a nurse. And he was stationed in Afghanistan in one of the hospitals. And it was a hospital that had been built by the Soviets, by the former Soviet Union. And he was working there. He was just so upset. And, you know, he got in my face a little bit. And I was like, wait a minute, let's, you know, calm down about it. And we sat there and talked. And I'll be honest with you, we shared a bottle of tequila. And I don't know if you remember that one night, but we're sitting there. And I can't remember the guy's name, but we had this common ground that we found, because I pressed the situation. And he told me a story about being over in Afghanistan in the hospital. And he said the one thing that really pissed him off was being in this hospital, and there was a woman who came in, and she had been wounded. She was an older woman, and she was wounded, and it was terminal. She was going to die. And so he put her up on a morphine drip. And one of the doctors came over and took it away from her. And he said, why are you removing this morphine from this woman? He said, because she's a woman and because she was from a different sect of Islam. And he said, she is someone's mother. She is someone's grandmother. She deserves. And he hooked her back up. And, you know, it was like this little fight. And finally, he, you know, put her somewhere, the nurse, and hooked her back up to the morphine to give her comfort as she passed away. And I, you know, I think about that a lot. And it's like, first, do no harm. You're going to let your religion come in the way of helping another human being. I'm getting riled up thinking about it. Man, God is bigger than that. If that's how small your God is, get the hell out of here.
That's like a change in history. You know, you go back. If you look at the way, you know, when the Spaniards came over and conquered the New World, you know, they used the Catholic Church as a catalyst, and they were cruel. And Indians, the South American Indians and otherwise, were not considered humans. In some of the places they would go and they would baptize the Indians and then put them to death so that they would lose their salvation. And you think about, wow, how cruel people were those. But, you know, and like you say, that's in standstill right now.
I don't know how much truth there is, but I remember studying a little bit about the Crusades and talking with one of the doctors of theology at Simpson, when we were going to Simpson University. And he talked about when they would have, you know, the ball and chain, the mace, I think is what it was called. The spike, that's it. And he said that the knights would bless it. Yep. And then when they would go after their enemy, the Muslim,
name of Jesus.
And then I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bash him in the head. And it's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, there you go. And the Lord
There's
has
compliance.
Said. Yeah, it's like, are you serious? But we've done some stupid stuff as human beings to one another, and it's still going on.
In the name of religion, yeah.
But, you know, and there's always going to be, Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. But
you know, the situation you were talking about, the Middle East, is never going to be any different. I mean, that's the way it's going to be until Armageddon. That's just, it's in the book.
Yeah.
You know, we know what it's going to be.
We
strive for peace. But, you know.
The son of perdition comes, and he's going to bring this supposed peace. This temporary in that area, temple be built. He goes in and sacrifices, just like Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig on the altar in Jerusalem in the temple. That's kind of a real slap. So anyway, we remember the past without dwelling on it. We live in the present, in the now. We look forward to the not yet as we pray, as we hope. And when we speak, this is fresh right here. When we speak to people now, we need to think of the not yet. So when we meet someone, no matter how different we might be, to give the kind word, I joke. You know, I mean, I make jokes and I try to make people laugh and get find common ground. And it's pretty natural. You know, it's like this natural, supernatural. Going back to how I was when I was 5. Living in the now, looking forward to the not yet, where you can, Holy Spirit can get into this person's heart in some way, shape, or form. And I don't have to see it happen. I just do what I have to do and then move on. It's not always. Like I talked about last week, there's times when I, you know, you might say I had an outburst of anger. I just say I was a little bit loud. So Father, we thank you once again for this time that you've put us together in fellowship. I thank you for the encouraging words and the commentary that has come forth. I thank you for Grant and him sharing his insight and the effects that the most important place on this planet, the place where you were born, the place where it all started, the place that ground zero, when heaven broke through into earth, when you, the Holy One, came and met humanity and it spread across the globe. I thank you for his insight and his willingness to share what he saw and how he felt and still today. Father, could we see that in wherever we are? That we not dwell on the past, but when we speak to people, we look forward to the future. Could we see ourselves how you see us? That blueprint that you had up on your wall and your work, you know, your workmanship and your workshop as you put us together. The plan, the promise. Holy Spirit, come. Come, fill us. Use us. We thank you that that you use technology to bring a way for David to be healed of the boils. Can we be those people that allow you to use whatever vehicle, whatever form, however you want to do a work in us and through us? Speaking through a donkey, speaking through a talking eagle in Revelation, however you want to do it. So we just once again commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shalom.
Amen. Yeah, peace.
Sometimes you're the only Bible your neighbor sees.